Hello and welcome back to Reality Check. Just my usual quick reminder at the top here that I'm always looking for questions to answer for this here podcast. So please use the contact form linked at the top of the page. Shoot me a line, or you can talk to me on Facebook or on Twitter, etc. Again, just looking for, you know, life questions. How do I get around this? How do I do that? Anything at all. Also, I want to mention something that may interest some people. The Groupon deal for my life coaching sessions is giftable. So if you have a friend or a relative who you think might benefit from some self-awareness or some direction in their lives, it really is a great deal that you can give them. I think it works out to being less than $30 per session, which when you compare that to other forms of therapy, it's like pocket change. I realize that it may seem sort of like an insult to imply that a friend needs help in their lives, but it really is a gift that will keep on giving, potentially altering their entire perspective for the better. That's not me bragging about how great I am. That's just me seeing how much even small shifts in perception can have dramatic, practical, you know, day-to-day effects. All right, so jumping into this week's topic, as I promised last episode, I'm going to be laying out the pretty simple process for evaluating and prioritizing things in your life. Simple, but not always easy to execute, which, if you've been following along in the past episodes, you'll realize is quickly becoming a recurring theme. So when it comes to our emotions, one of the main things that allows them to take over and override our reason is this feeling of being out of control. That out-of-control feeling is so powerful, we as human beings will go to any lengths to reclaim that control. The problem is that our emotions, being the non-reasoning, you know, impulsive things that they are, they don't differentiate between what should be controlled and what shouldn't or can't be controlled. If you ever witness people exhibiting OCD-type behaviors, obsessive-compulsive disorder, being overbearing or controlling with their loved ones, especially kids or spouses, caring a whole lot about minor trivial things, or even worse, demanding that other people care about this or that trivial thing because it would make them feel better. If you witness any of these behaviors, what you're seeing is someone desperately grasping at control. They feel like they can't control the stuff that they should be able to, and instead of working on that, their emotions are demanding that they control something, just anything, really. Maybe you've even been in this mode yourself. It's a feeling almost like that of drowning. You feel yourself sinking helplessly, and you'll do anything to find something to grasp onto so you don't sink further. To continue the metaphor, you may even consciously realize that the things you're grasping for are, you know, sharp or on fire or otherwise dangerous, but ultimately, you'd rather grab onto the burning piece of wood than nothing at all. In real terms, you'd rather yell at your kids and make them do what makes you feel better than feel out of control. You know deep down that yelling at your kids isn't the right way of handling anything, but you're in survival mode. If you don't exert that pressure now, it's going to metaphorically, you know, kill you. That's what your brain subconsciously tells you to ease the guilt. But still, you know something's wrong. Back in the episode about unearned guilt, I got into the topic of when other people try to guilt you into being or doing what they want. In that episode, I was analyzing it from the point of view of the guilt-ridden. Now I'm flipping the tables. The person that wants to do the guilt-tripping usually is not doing so in order to be evil or mean. I mean, make no mistake, trying to control others is an evil act. But in terms of their intentions, I would say that most often the reason they're seeking that control is exactly this. It's their attempt to feel in control of their own lives. It's just misplaced to a horrible effect. I say this not to exonerate these people, but to try to bring some, you know, understanding. Now, depending on how you've chosen to cope with that out-of-control feeling, it could be as simple as talking to someone like me and working through it that way. Or you may need intensive cognitive behavioral therapy administered by an expert psychologist. Each person is different and needs a different plan of action tailored to their individual circumstances. But what I wanted to talk about today is the starting point of all of this. Before the emotions take over and overwhelm you, there's a decision checkpoint that lots of people never consider, at least consciously. What can I control? What can't I control? Again, so, you know, this is pretty simple, right? When you come to a decision point, or even when you're just feeling stressed out or panicked, all you have to do is ask yourself, what can I control here? If the answer is, you know, all this stuff is outside of my control, then rationally speaking, you're done. From that point onward, unless circumstances change where, you know, suddenly control is available to you, if that doesn't change, then you have to wash your hands of this. Yes, whatever it is might end up impacting you later, and you'll have to adapt to those consequences. But in terms of your emotions, if you continue to feel like you're out of control, as in, like, in some way this is still all up to you, or that you feel the need to force control onto something else, then that's you being irrational. And as I covered in the emotions episode, if an emotion is irrational, it needs to be labeled as such and viewed as counterproductive. It doesn't mean you should try to force yourself not to feel that way or to try to bury it. Again, never try to bury emotions. But as you're feeling it, you need to constantly tell yourself, this emotion is irrational. It doesn't belong. It makes no sense. This situation doesn't warrant this emotion. Now, here's where it gets a little more nuanced. If you ask yourself, can I control anything here? And the answer is yes, then you need to quickly narrow it all down. What do I mean by that? Okay, so you need to take an inventory of all the aspects that you can control. And by control in all of this, I simply mean, is it possible for you to say or do things that will affect the outcome? I don't mean you necessarily have, you know, puppet master level control over everything. It's just, you know, what can I do? What can't I do? So you take an inventory, and let's say you can control about 10% of whatever it is. Most of it is in the hands of other people or circumstances or even sometimes just physics, such as, you know, I can't possibly be in two places at once, so I need to pick one. But for that 10%, you get to nudge things towards whatever outcome you desire. From that point on, your emotions should be geared solely at that 10%. It's hard to boil it down like that sometimes. If you're on a team working on a project and you only have 10% of the input, you could work your ass off in that 10% and the project still fails because other people drop the ball, right? It would be a mistake to absorb 100% of that disappointment when you only contributed 10%. Ultimately, you just need to keep your focus and thus your emotions laser beam focused on that 10%. Yes, things might not have gone your way, but as long as you did your best when and where you could, everything else is just background noise. The great thing about running this control check right at the start is that it sets your expectations. If you can catch your emotions up to this line of reasoning, you know, with practice and over time, you'll start to realize that you no longer feel out of control, really ever. Now, why? Because all the things that used to make you feel that way had nothing to do with you. You were taking ownership over stuff that was never yours to deal with in the first place. Conversely, the things that you can control will mean so much more to you. Not only will your own actions mean more to you, but you'll be better at them. Now, how do I know this? It's a bit of an educated guess, but I've seen it countless times in practice. And it's based on the fact that as you narrow your scope, it allows you to tackle issues in bite-sized chunks. Everything gets easier to accomplish when it's broken down into manageable pieces. And as you complete piece after piece, you know, self-esteem grows as you build accomplishment on top of accomplishment. Thus, indirectly, what you can control also gets easier to control. Now again, what I've laid out here is very simple. It's a simple yes-no question. Can I control this or can't I? If I can, to what extent can I? Once you figure all that out, and you constantly remind yourself of which side of that line you fall on, it's just a matter of time and practice before your emotions eventually catch up. Runaway, irrational emotions can only flourish in the absence of reason. The more you label your emotions and remind yourself that irrational emotions don't belong, the less and less room you give those emotions to overwhelm you. Alright, so as promised, this one was a short one this week. I might come back to this topic in the future and tackle different aspects of it, but this is a good starting point. If you have any questions about this, or really any podcast episode, of course, drop me a line in the ways I mentioned earlier. Some of these topics are so large that whole books can and have been written about, so there's really no way I'm going to do them justice in short podcast episodes. But hopefully I've at least started you thinking in the right direction. But let me know. In either case, I'll talk to you all next week.